However, if you would like to come to me and talk about length of sermons, you are wasting your time. Huh? Just bring the food? Well, see, if you say that today, I don't know if you mean the word or if you mean the dinner food. That's what I thought. Dinner food. Yeah, okay. All right. Let's be sure and be in prayer for Sister Rosalie. She took a spill coming in this morning, that old rug that we have that needs to be replaced. She caught her foot on it and took a little tumble, and so that's what's going on there. So let's be sure and pray for her. All right, Genesis chapter 1. Man, oh man, there is so much in Genesis. And there are so many things. I find myself, as I read through it again and study through it again, I did a real in-depth study of Genesis before I came here to be your pastor, and I can remember whenever I was studying it then thinking, man, I can't wait to preach through this book. There are just so many wonderful things here that I'm learning, and I'm really looking forward to preaching through this book. That was before I came here to be your pastor, and it took me 5 years to get to it. But anyhow, there's so much here, and then as I read through it again, I find myself, you know, I'm ahead of myself in my study. I'm ahead of where we are right now, and so I find myself, making notes so that I don't forget, you know, to bring this point out and this point here. So much in here, so much about our God and who He is, and so much about us, man, and who we are, and what we're like, and what our thinking is, and the way we do things. But here in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 3 through 31. We're going to read this, the rest of the chapter, and read the days of creation. The Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Oh, wait a minute. Let's stop. I want to back up and address something that I mentioned last week. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And if you'll recall, I said last week that Scripture doesn't give us a real exact explanation as to what took place there. This week I was doing some studying and came across something that I had studied a while back and had forgotten. And I was looking through some stuff again, and I looked at this, and I thought, oh, I forgot all about that. So I read an explanation for this that I thought was really good. I had just forgotten it, and that's why I forgot to bring it up, didn't bring it up last week. But one explanation that was given for the Spirit moving across everything is that this could be what energized our universe, okay? And what I mean by that is this. We have forces at work like gravity. We have protons and neutrons and electrons and all, you know, there's a the force, the I mean, the universe has a no, it's not Star Wars, okay? No. I might go off a deep end sometime, but I'm not going Star Wars. The universe has a force to it, an electrical type force. Your bodies have an amount of electricity in them, and so this could have been one of the purposes. This isn't something that we have to, you know, be real sticklers about, but this is one explanation that this is where the basically where everything was charged with energy. Everything has energy in it, and that could be what took place there. But anyhow, verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Have you noticed here, as you read through the creation account, do you notice how God made everything? You hear people nowadays talk about things like, they call it a sustainable lifestyle. Okay? They say, well, we want to live a more sustainable. You notice how when God made everything, he made it to just sustain itself. Okay? That everything was working just fine. He made man and put him in the garden to dress it. But do you notice before he ever made man, the grasses and the trees and the fruit-bearing trees and everything, they all had everything they needed to just keep right on growing and reproducing after their kind. Listen, God makes no mistakes. God knows what he's doing. And God created the way that he did, and he created everything in the manner that he did for a specific reason. And he tells us here in his word that what he did was good. Can you not look around at creation and say, yes, that's good? That, you know, sometimes we try to come up with bigger words and greater words when maybe we just need to return to good. That's just good. You ever go out at night and look at that big full moon, look at those stars and think about how vast the universe is, and then how God is even more vast than that and we are so small, and just think, boy, that sure is good. That's good. We need more good, just plain old good. We strive for awesome. We strive for epic. We strive for fantastic. Hey, what about just some things that are good? God is good. Scripture tells us there is none good but God. He is good, and what he does is good. Church, don't ever get bored with good. Don't ever get bored or worn out or tired of good. It says, what are we ready for? 14? Are we ready for 14? Okay. Come on now, you want me to get this done, you're going to have to help me. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Pardon me. I want to point something else out here. Do you notice how it keeps saying the evening and the morning were the second day and the third day and the fourth day? As you read through Scripture, you will find that God has a lot to say about the evening time. We often look at the day as everything starts in the morning and then it's all done at night. But do you realize that tomorrow is vastly determined by what you'll do this evening. Now think about that. When you go to bed, how much sleep you get, what you're thinking about before you, as you start to wind down and before you go to bed, how many of us make preparations for the morning? Okay, set things out that we need, make plans. The evening is really, when you get down to it, it's really where the day begins, because so much of the next day depends on the evening. We're doing so many things to prepare for the next day in the evening before. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, because he made everything. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Lord, your word is so precious to us. We pray today it would become even more precious to us. Help me as I preach it, and help us all to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hold your place there in Genesis and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. We find here in the very first chapter of the Bible, God creating everything. Then we get back to Hebrews. You're getting close to the end of the Bible and Scripture coming to a close. And Paul, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I don't know how you could read it and not think that Paul wrote Hebrews. But you look at Hebrews, you get here and look what Paul says in chapter 3. Look what he points out in verse 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Beginning of the Bible, the beginning of God's word says, hey, in the beginning, God created. You start to get near the close of Scripture, and the Bible says, God made everything. Look, no matter how many years go by, no matter how many people decide they don't want to believe it, no matter how many people try to disprove it, it doesn't change the fact that God is the creator, that God made everything. And as I said before, I think I said it last week, if he made it, he can rule it. He can make the rules. He's in charge. He gets to say what happens. He that built all things is God. We've already established the purpose of those. Last week we established the purpose of those who deny the truth of God's word and insist that all life and everything that we see is the product of long periods of time and chaos. Last week we talked about that, about why would people say that? Why would people say millions and millions and millions of years? Why would someone try to teach something like that? Well, if you don't want to admit that there's a God and you want to try to convince yourself that you can do whatever you want and that you don't have to answer to anybody, then you would believe that man just came from nothing, because if you came from nothing, then you have to answer to nothing. And we're seeing the result of that today in how the world lives, in what the world believes, and what they try to teach other people, it is the product. It is the product of a denial of Almighty God. That's where it all begins. The Bible says, what's the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 1? It says that they did not like to retain God in their hearts. Romans chapter 1 says, hey, you know what? Turn there. Because I want to show you something. Pardon me. Romans chapter 1. Okay, look, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, so you can know that there's a God. The agnostic believes that if there's a God, you can't really know. Remember we said last week that the atheist believes there is no God. The agnostic believes that there might be, but you can't really know. And if there is, you can't really have a relationship with them. Well, it's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them. You can know. Okay, you can know. And man does know. Remember? Christ lighteth all men. We all know there's God. Okay? Right there. For God hath showed it unto them. Now look, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So we did the they're invisible because we weren't there when he created. Okay? But they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What did Paul say in Hebrews just now that we just read? In Hebrews 3:4. He said, every house has a builder. That's a paraphrasing, but that's what he said. He said, every house has a builder. That's what he's saying right here. He's saying, you can see that there's a creator by his creation. It says, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If a man never had one verse of Scripture quoted to him, if he never saw a Bible, if there wasn't a Bible in his language, if he never set foot in a church, if he never knew what a Christian was, he would still stand guilty before God, because God says, you saw my creation, you knew I was here, and you still didn't seek me. That's what this is saying. It's saying because of creation, they're without excuse. Then he goes on to tell us later that because of the law, man's mouths are stopped. That means somebody's going to look at creation and try to make excuses of why they didn't know. Well, then the law goes a step further. Yeah, what about that conscience you've got? Okay? It says they'll have no excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. See, they knew who he was. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Don't you think it's something how a world full of people who don't believe that there's a God sure like to use his name as a curse word an awful lot? What are you using his name to curse for if you realize how empty that is? You don't even believe he's real. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now listen, church, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Well, I think anybody can just marry whoever they want. That's a lie. God created one man, he created one woman, he put them together, and that's the only model. That's the truth of God. And they say, oh no. No, you can You can marry whatever you want to marry. That's a lie. You're taking the truth of God, which is one man and one woman, and you're perverting it and changing it into a lie. Worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What's it mean they worship the creature more than the Creator? They care more about man than they do God. Where's God's Nikes? Where's God's jersey? Where's his sign on the side of NASCAR? No, I'm not trying to be silly. I'm trying to point out to you idol worship in this world and where it comes from. Where's all this for God? For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Men, women, there is a natural way in which God created our bodies to be used, and there is a way to use it against nature. And don't you make any mistake. I know I've heard them. I know what they say. People who want to try to teach others that homosexuality is not a sin and that that's not really what the Bible says. Read the Bible. You can't read this and not know what he's talking about. A fourth grader could read this. A fifth grader could read this and know exactly what he's talking about. And if you didn't know in verse 26, you got to know in verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. I know it sickens us. I know it grosses us out. But it's Scripture and we've got to read it. No, we're not to go around joking about it. We're not to go around talking about those things which they do in secret. But when Scripture proclaims it, we read it and we proclaim it. Even as they did, there it is, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now look, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Oh, man, are we watching Fox News or reading the Bible? I mean, does this not just sound like the everyday's headlines? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They worship, but does it not seem like the filthier you are nowadays, the more popular you can be? You know why some people's fame doesn't last? They weren't filthy enough. They weren't filthy enough. They weren't dirty enough. But boy, the dirtier you are, the more wicked you are, the higher this world puts you on a pedestal. It's like there's a race to see who can out-wicked the other person. Now, preacher, Genesis, God's creating everything. Look, he said right back here in verse 19 and 20 and 21. These people looked at creation and knew that there was a God and knew that somebody created them, created the universe, created them. They knew that. And they denied that and didn't want to believe that and didn't want to admit that and didn't want to have that in their knowledge. And God says, hey, it's right here. God says that from that came homosexual behavior, came all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Here's what I'm saying, church. When you start by denying that there the Genesis account of creation, when you start by saying there is no God, that leads to every unmentionable form of wickedness. That's what he's saying in Rome. He said they didn't want to admit, they didn't want to agree, they didn't want to keep in their knowledge that God was real, and they rejected him and they rejected his truth, and because of that, look how they ended up. Now that's what Romans 1 tells us. If you don't think that's what Romans 1 tells us, let's go downstairs, get a plate of food, and get the Bibles open and look at this, because I don't, it's so plain. So then when we say, boy, why is there all this wickedness in the world today? Why is it that it seems like it's that evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse? Because God said they would. Okay, and I wasn't planning on spending this. Man, I'm almost out of time. I wouldn't even plan on spending this much time in this. That's okay. That's okay. People say, well, you know, why are people doing this? Why are they doing that? Why are they burning stuff down? Why are they busting up people's homes and cars? And why are people killing their babies? And why are people leaving their spouses? And why are people having kids all over the place and can't even remember who the parents are? And why are people shooting people for a fix and busting into people's homes? And why are kids taking guns to school? And I took guns to school when I was a kid. Anybody else take a gun to school when you were a kid? Carol, you're probably the last person I thought would. No, she said no. She said no, but I'm thinking, I didn't think you did, Carol. Carol came in with her shotgun. She's like, I ain't taking that math test. Yeah, maybe when you were teaching, you wanted to take one a couple days. Listen, what I'm saying, we didn't walk into school with our guns, but what I'm saying is we put our guns in our pickup trucks because we were going to go squirrel hunting or deer hunting or something. Back before me, you know, when my parents were in school, they had them up in the gun racks. I've heard them talk about the gun racks. Yeah, back, well, I didn't have mine in the gun rack. I put it behind the seat, but, you know, we brought our guns to school and because we were going to go hunting afterwards. They don't take them to school because they're going squirrel hunting now. He said, well, why kids go walk into school and just start shooting? And the world says, well, you know, it's because his father was not there. Well, yeah, his father needs to be there. That probably made it worse. Well, you know, it's poverty. Really? Yeah, that's a good one. Bullying. They've been bullied. Where were the anti-bully laws when I was a kid? Yeah. For one, I would have not only had half the school locked up for bullying me, I'd have been locked up for picking on other kids. When you're a kid, you get picked on and you pick on other people. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to just toughen up and learn that that's how life is and we got to move on. But listen, well, why are they shooting kids? Why are they coming in and shoot? Well, you know, the dad's not, or it's poverty. You know, that's what poverty does. That's a big one nowadays, church. It's poverty. Well, could I point this out to you? We have a generation in this country called the greatest generation. These were the men and women that went through the Great Depression, went through World War II. I wholly agree with the with the designation that's given to them. Man, they built and rebuilt this nation. And I'm telling you that they saw the greatest poverty that this nation has ever seen. Nobody had a job. Nobody had a job. People were waiting in line to get some bread. People were waiting in line. All the food had to be rationed out. You couldn't just go and buy whatever. Then the dust bowl hit. Then the weather was even working against us. And in certain parts of the country, people couldn't grow anything because it was a wretched time, a terrible time. And men were having to leave their families for 1, 2, 3 years at a time to go across the country and to get a job and to send money back. And these same men, young men, I'm talking, you know of people who were fighting in World War II, 16, 17 years old because they lied about their age and nobody checked it and we needed men to fight. And some of them went over and killed, some of them hundreds of people, depending on what their position was. Saw their buddies killed in the foxhole right next to them. Carried the bodies of their dead fellow soldiers who they'd come to be this close to, carried them out of the field, sometimes had to leave them there, couldn't even take their bodies back home. Had the worst poverty going on in this country we'd ever seen. And you know what wasn't happening? People weren't walking into school shooting people. People weren't setting cars on fire. People weren't throwing bricks through business windows. They weren't burning down police buildings. They weren't burning down gas stations. You know what the crime rate was in our country back then? Very, very minimal. I'm not going to go over there and take from that person. They don't have any more than I have. And you know, we got this thing going on right now with this virus thing. We're all in this together. Really? Really? Well, I want out. Okay? We're all in this together. No. No, you know what we were in together? World War I, World War II, the Great Depression, the rebuilding of the country. That's when people had more of a sense that we are in this together. Hey, he's hurting just like I am. But you know why that mattered? Nowadays, what people say is, I'm hurting, that's all that matters, I'll get what I want. You know back then why people said, he's hurting just like I am, I'm not going to go take from him. Because people knew, hey, same God that created me created him. I'm not saying that, you know, I know how our country was founded. There was a time when we had a greater Christian heritage than what we have now. But there's never been a time when everybody in America was saved. Come on. There's always been sin. There's always been. But there was a time when more people believed the Bible. And I have said all of this. I know it sounds like rambling. I promise you it's not. I've said all that to say this. God says, right there in Romans, when you deny that I made you and I made everything, when you deny that, when you start believing that you came from nothing, you came from fish, you came from monkeys, you came from whatever it is, and millions and billions of years is what brought everything, when you start denying me and you start believing that, what God's saying here is this: you have no foundation to fix yourself upon, and you are opening yourself up for every type of wickedness and lawlessness imaginable. Why do people live the way that they live? Yes, they're sinners. We're all born sinners. But why is it that it seems like the longer that we're here, we see more and more? Man's heart is not any more wicked than it's ever been, but man is displaying that wickedness more than he used to. That's what it means when it says the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It just means you're going to see more and more and more of their wickedness on display. Why? Because every year we get further and further and further and further from the generations where the majority of them believed. At least, even if they weren't saved, there was a greater belief that there was a God that made us. Remember when people used to say, hey, you come to church with me. Boy, I couldn't go to church. The walls would fall down. Remember when people used to say that? You know why they said that? They were lost, but they knew something about God. And they thought, you know what? That's a that place isn't for me. No, come on, we want to preach to you. We want you to get saved. Well, I don't. Now, nobody ever says that anymore, do they? Nobody thinks that anymore. You know why? Because nobody thinks that they've sinned. Nobody thinks they've done anything wrong. You know why? Because every generation knows less and less and less about God and has been taught less and less and less about God and has been taught more and more and more. There's no God. He didn't create anything. You're just a product of an accident, an explosion. Just do what you want. The younger generation has this thing, this phrase, this that they write. I guess maybe they text it and put it. But it's YOLO. Now, some of you are going, but about a year or so ago, Jordan, our Rose Holman student, he was a freshman at Rose Holman this past year, I mentioned this, and I said, Jordan, what's it mean? He knew exactly what it meant. Because it's so prevalent in his generation. I'm not saying Jordan believes this. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he's from that generation that uses it. And so I asked him, why? He sees it everywhere. It's prevalent. He knew exactly what it was. You know what it means? You only live once. You only live once. Wouldn't it be great if they were saying, you only live once, so let's live it for God. But they're not, are they? No, you only live once. Let's get all we can. Let's take all we can. We just read in Genesis where Moses took pen in hand and told us, hey, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God, he said, let the cattle bring forth. Let there be whales. And the evening and the morning were the first day and the second day and the third day. And God created man in his own image. And then you get to Romans, and Paul says, when you stop believing that God is the creator, that leads to fornication, wickedness, covetousness, backbiters, disobedient to parents. Let's take disobedient to parents for just a minute. I know that's not enough time, but let's look at it for just a minute. Okay? When I was a youngin', this was the common belief. This was the understanding. Anyone 20 and older could give you a whooping if you were in their presence, and they didn't have to be family. You just walked around afraid of all grown-ups, didn't you? I mean, my aunts and my uncles could whoop me if they needed to, and sometimes did. Grandma and grandpa could whoop you if they needed to, and sometimes did. Mamaw really did. Papaw gave me one whooping when he was sick. Only time Papaw ever whipped me, it was a couple years before he died. He was just starting to decline, and he wasn't himself. We had the understanding if we were at a friend's house, their mama and their daddy could whoop you if they needed to. Do you remember that if you were when you were messing around in class, there was a paddle hanging on the wall? Oh, that's cruel. No, it made kids mind. They would shut up and they would listen and they would learn because they were staring at that thing. No, but they were afraid. Yeah, fear is good sometimes. Okay? Now listen. When I was in school, they could grab that paddle just like that, out in the hall. And they did it to me a couple times. Sixth grade, I was tormenting this kid. I was bullying him. I took a book off of his desk, and it was after recess, and I was running away. You know, wouldn't let him have it with him, and I was holding it over the trash can, and he's, don't you drop it. I was a snot. I, I dropped it in a trash can, and he came over and jumped on me. You stop. I heard that. He came over and jumped on me. And I'm laughing about it. He's trying to hit me but can't reach me, you know, and I'm laughing about it. Teacher comes in. Utley and the other kid took us right out in the hall. What's going on? Told him. I don't know why he asked. He whooped both of us anyhow. Well, they always did. You were both fighting. It didn't matter. Whooped both of you. Your parents found out about it when you brought the slip home. I got whipped. And you got another one, yes. Which was so much worse than the one you got at school. Okay? I'm telling you that to say this. Now what happens? Don't you touch my child. Parents are sitting down with grandparents and trying to instruct their grandparents on how to discipline the grandchildren when they're over at their house. Remember, when I was a kid, anybody could whip you, and they did. But listen, you know why we walked around with a healthy fear of authority? Because many of us were taught by parents who believed there is a greatest authority. We had parents who knew and believed there is a God who is in charge and he will chasten us if we get out of line. And he told us to chasten our children if they get out of line. And we walked around just respecting authority. Why are people disobedient? Why are children disobedient to their parents? They're being raised to believe life's all about you. Do whatever you want. After all, you just came from a monkey. Go ahead and act like one. And they're being taught by parents who have been taught the same thing. And the last person that believed that there was a God and that there's an authority was grandma and grandpa, or maybe even great-grandma and great-grandpa. Now, that seems foreign to some of us, but that's how it is outside of those doors. And he says right here in Romans, you deny that I'm real and your children are going to disobey you. You deny that I'm real and you teach your children that I'm not real. Those children are going to disobey you. You're not going to be able to control those children. And he says, he goes on and says, malicious and full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Without understanding. Come on. You have courts, the highest courts in the land, the Supreme Courts, actually wasting time listening to people debate about whether or not some weirdo, that's what I said, some weirdo in your town, some guy that likes to wear a dress, whether or not he should be allowed to go into the same restroom at the grocery store that your wife goes in. Now, how does that make it to the Supreme Court? And people stand there and argue, human rights, human rights. No, you know what? A human right is my wife, as a human female, has a right to go into her restroom and not be afraid for her life. This guy, this pervert, does not have the right to do such things. But it goes to the highest court in the land. Well, we got to hear this. No, you don't. Some things are just right and some things are just wrong, and this book tells us which is which. No, you don't have to hear it. Well, should a woman be able to end her pregnancy? Well, should I just be able to go over and shoot my neighbor because I don't want him there anymore? Same principle. I'm getting rid of a life that is a bother to me. No, we got to hear this. They're without understanding. If you believed that there was a God that created everybody, you wouldn't have those questions, would you? Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Man, just forget about people keeping promises anymore. You know, people used to say, a handshake isn't what it used to be. You got to get it on paper. Paper doesn't matter. You get the right lawyer, he'll get you out of anything. I mean, he'll get you out of anything. You know, it's so bad that people, most of us just expect people not to keep their word. We've been lied to so much, we're surprised when somebody shows up on time or somebody does what they say they're going to do. Without natural affection? Without natural affection? We'll talk more about that this evening. People don't even know where to put their affection anymore. You can murder a little baby that's been in the womb 3 months, and it's a woman's right. But if somebody finds out you were beating your puppy dog, you leave your puppy dog in the car with the windows rolled up, and they will take you to jail in some states without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. What are we saying? We're saying this. We just read in Genesis, God made it all. We get to Romans, and Paul says, you quit believing that God made it all, and here's where you end up. Why are things the way that they are? Well, they're the way that they are because we're all sinners. We're all born sinners. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? But why? Why do things keep getting more and more heinous? Why are we seeing things all the time? And we say, man, I couldn't have even dreamed that up. That's so terrible. Why? Because every generation we get further and further away from the generations that even the lost people believed, yeah, there's a God. That's why they said the church walls will probably fall down if I go in. I don't belong there. That's what Paul says here. It all begins in Genesis, folks. It all begins with, what do you believe about where you came from? What do you believe about how you got here? I'll say this as I begin to close. No, I mean it. You want to see something really funny? That's how much of my notes I just went by. Here's how much I have. One paragraph led to that. You get all this tonight. This is just a guideline, okay? The Holy Spirit is not bound by these notes. You realize that. This is just what I think I'm going to preach when I get up. And if God leads us in a different direction, then He knows what we need. But listen, I'll close by saying this. You just have to make up your mind once and for all about the Bible. You've just got to settle in your mind and in your heart once and for all. Is it God's word? Is it perfect? Is it infallible in every single aspect? Or are you going to cast doubt on it? Well, maybe I think some of it is, but I'm not too sure about this, or I don't believe any of it. Is it just another book and we subject it to man's understanding? Or is it written from the infinite, perfect mind of God? And it's true. If He has the power to create the universe and all that is in it, then He has the power to create it however He sees fit, and He has the power to rule and reign it however He sees fit. And you and I have to begin with Genesis and make up our mind once and for all, what do I believe? That God created everything. Or do I believe a little bit of that or just some of that? It all comes down to faith. Even the atheist and the evolutionist, it's faith. Because we can't see God and we can't see when He created, and they can't see that matter that they claimed was there that exploded into something. So the question is, whose faith is more reasonable? Who has more reason to believe in what they believe? You begin by denying that God even created things, and then your life and your city and your state and your country and the entire world go right down the Romans chapter 1 path. That's where it comes from. Come on, if you believe there was a God, you'd think twice about all those things, wouldn't you? You'd think twice about taking from your neighbor. You'd think twice about trying to take his wife from him. You'd think twice about hurting him, about harming him. Because you'd say, you know what, there's a God. But if you don't believe there's a God, why would you stop to give it a half a second thought? Write down. You know, it's something we talk about in witnessing the Romans Road. The sad thing is, we just read the Romans Road that most people, most of this world, are already on. That's the road they're going down. That's why it's so vital that we get the other Romans Road to them, to get them off of that road that they're on. It all begins with, did he create it or not? This preacher believes that he did. This preacher has always believed that, and this preacher will always believe that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you for what you have taught us in your word this morning. Thank you for the understanding that you've given us on Scripture. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to be firmly rooted in the fundamentals of the faith. And Lord, that we would never stray from that faith and that belief that you created all things. And Lord, as we read about the path that so many people in this world are on, and we know why, help us to get out there and proclaim the truth of your existence and the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.